Welcome to a new episode of our MBSE podcast. Well, it goes blow by blow. Right? The last episode about OSAM with SysmaLB2 with our guests Sandy Friedenthal, Andrew Moxon, and Ryan Mogocci was just a week ago. Mm-hmm. And today we have a very special topic. There is a world championship of system architecture and modeling. And we have the two brains behind it. As our guests, it's Brian Selvey and David Gamble from the company Vitech. And so welcome, Brian and David. Great to have you on our show. And please introduce yourself.
Thank you, Tim and Christian. So I'm Brian Selvey. We both work for Vitech, Zook and Vitech. And my title is Chief Innovation Officer. So it's a role sort of like the CTO. I'm responsible for our product roadmap, our product strategy, and I lead up our department that comprises our product managers, our user interface, user experience people. But yeah, we're really responsible for what the product vision is going forward. But prior to Vitech, I've worked in industry for well over 20 years in aerospace, smaller startups, and some larger aerospace companies as well, and also in astronomy. I live in Tucson, Arizona, and it's a big industry here. So I've worked at the Large Synoptic Survey Telescope as well along the way. But throughout all that, I've used a number of different MBSE modeling tools and methodologies and languages. So yeah, it's a little bit about myself. Thanks.
Great.
And hi, thank you for having me. My name is Dave Gamble. I think my background is very similar to Brian's. My title here at Vitech is Principal Applications Engineer. I do a little bit of a lot of different things, but mostly I support the sales and marketing and the business development. But prior to this, just like Brian, I've been in industry 20 years, primarily aerospace. I've kind of Forrest Gumped my way through a lot of different really cool projects. And in the interim, I was able to get my MBA. So now I'm trying to angle my career more towards a business development front. And Vitech's offering me the opportunity to exercise those muscles. And I'm really happy to be part of the World Championship of Systems Architecture and Modeling. I think it's a fantastic opportunity to get to know the community. Where I differ from Brian is I was never really an MBSE practitioner. In a lot of my programs, I was always on the team trying to bring MBSE methodology into the organization, and it never quite worked out. So this is my first real exposure to MBSE. I've always seen it as the light in the way, but I didn't really learn the ins and outs of it until I came to Vitech.
Okay, cool. So also from my side, a very warm welcome and nice that you are joining us. To be honest, I didn't know about this World Championship until you both came in contact to us. And I think, Brian, we know each other from several OMG meetings. But you never told me this. So for all other folks who are new to this, what is this World Championship about? How did it come about?
Yeah, so it is new. This is going to be our third year. It started back in 2023. So Christian may not have had an opportunity to talk about it too much at previous OMG. Since we've created that foundation, have been growing it since, but just it's still pretty nascent. So, you know, what I was looking at a couple years ago, I was thinking about, you know, I was, you know, watching TV one night, and there are all these competition shows. There's the Great British Bake Off, there's Forged in Fire, and I remember even seeing some clips online about the Microsoft Excel World Championships. And I thought, yes. You know, right? So I was like, these things exist. And there's a reason why people get excited and interested in them. There's a reason why people want to both watch them and participate in them to gain recognition, to prove their mettle as, you know, a domain expert. And I thought, that's really cool. And so I did a little research. I was trying to see if we had something in the systems engineering, system architecting, MBSE realm for this. I didn't really find one. So I thought, well, this would be a great opportunity to just try it out. Let's give it a shot. So in my position, I was actually in a really good position to try this out because working for Vitech had a couple advantages. I have a boss, Enrique Krasmaljanic, that is very supportive of these sorts of things that are new and innovative and different. And the other advantage that we had is that, we have to have a place to host it, and we have an annual conference that we've been doing for several years now called Integrate. And so he was very supportive of allowing us to host the event as a companion piece to the Integrate conferences. So that's really kind of the background of it. That's kind of how it started. I was thinking about, it would be great to, recognize and reward the community's best in modeling. And it's not just modeling. It's really what I was thinking also about a little bit is that we've got certifications. You can get your, OCSMP, you can get your CSEP. But a lot of that is really around memorization and regurgitation, right, to some degree. And so I was thinking, well, this would also be a bit of a differentiator in that it recognizes and rewards something a little bit different. It's really recognizing those that have the true ability to execute and do good systems engineering and MBSE on real programs, because everybody has to come in with the same ground rules, and it's, a high pressure. You only have a certain number of hours to from the time you get the problem statement to the time you have to submit your solution. It requires, to be able to show that you do have the basic skills that the systems engineer needs to have. You have to deal with ambiguity. You have to be able to determine quickly what information and important is important and is not important. And you have to be able to be innovative and creative. And that's hard to, quantize and evaluate, in a written test for a certification. So we were try that my motivation was sort of to try to recognize those that are really truly doing things and have those well-rounded school skills in industry.
Cool. And how's the structure of such a competition? So is it like a hackathon on site? So people sit in a room for a few hours and do their architecture, or is it a homework, or is it a existing project they did at their work and submitted as an example, or how does it work?
No, it's all live. It's all co-located in the same room. We gather all the competitors up and get them all in the room. We introduce ourselves. We introduce our staff, our supporting staff, the judges. We introduce the competitors to one another. And then we spend some time kind of reviewing the ground rules that Brian mentioned and the logistics. We identify what the deliverables are going to be so people kind of know what they're getting into. And then we just kind of go through a presentation. We present the background of the problem statement. And at that point, when we start presenting the background of the problem statement, we're kind of now in the kind of the alternate reality game universe. From that moment on, they're playing the roles of whatever they need to for that particular problem. So at that point, if
So
they have
they
questions,
don't know the problem statement before, so that's the first
definitely not.
time they
Yeah. So that's a conscious decision to make sure that nobody gets an edge, obviously, if somebody does extra homework and figures out something. Everything that we do, as I mentioned before to you guys in our private conversation, we do with the spirit of making sure that everything's impartial and everything is fair amongst the competitors. They're under enough pressure already. We don't want to give anybody an unfair edge. So at the point that we present the problem statement, if there are no questions, we hit the button and electronically deliver to them the details of the problem statement, any supporting documentation and data they're going to need. And then they get to work for several hours. Last year, because I was able to join on and give Brian an extra set of hands, we added a couple things to the competition. One was that we decided to go with a phase design approach. So there was a first phase where you go over the basics of the direction you're going to go with the project, and then you're able to interact with the judges and get a little more detail. And at that point, you start getting a sense for what the judges are looking for your particular solution set. And then afterwards, you go into the detail part of it, and then they judge you against what you had talked about before, in addition to the rubric. And then we also added a twist last year that nobody knew about ahead of time. We did discuss it a little bit with the judges, but certainly no one knew that there was going to be a twist, and it added that extra bit of realism because I can't think of a single project where from the beginning to the end all the conditions remain the same, right? So we wanted to get them into the cauldron of having something change unexpectedly and see how they react. In this particular case, we were able to make it an optional one so that you weren't penalized for not following the new path. I think that'll be in context to whatever the problem statement is going forward, but I think we want to keep the idea of the twist is change the conditions on them, see how they react, give them an opportunity to go down a different direction for bonus points or to make, to make something stand out more than the other competitors, or you can take the path of staying the road that you were on and not take the time and schedule or the time and the time and technical hit of having to change and re-engineer what you were doing. So that's basically the structure. It's over the course of several hours, and at the end of it, it's pencils down, and they get to present that to their solution to the judges, and then the judges deliberate and come up with a final ranking and a final score. Yeah, it's trial by fire. So just as we designed it to be.
And do I apply as a team, or can I apply as an individual and the teams are formed on site, or how does this work?
Yeah, so we have two different competitions, but everybody works on the same problem. Individuals go up against individuals, and teams that are formed go up against other teams that are formed, usually from the same company, but they don't have to be. Whatever team you feel comfortable with, you submit to the competition as that team, and you don't have to worry about a 4-on-1 or anything like that. They're separate prizes or separate awards for the individual bracket versus the team bracket.
Yeah, the teams can be up to three,
That's right.
so it's two or three.
Okay.
Yeah, and you have to, as David said, you have to, sign up as register as a team in advance. So there's no like, just asking people if you want to be on their team, at the day of the event. It's you sign up in advance that way.
I think we have one or a couple of individuals that were on a team or went from individual to team. Is that right? Do we have some repeat ones that went or were anticipating that somebody might want to do that? So
We
you
have
can
had
clear the field.
repeat
Yeah.
competitors from year one to year two. Yeah. Some of who were on a team one year and then competed as an individual the next year.
And teams and
And
individuals, they get the same problem statement, the same tasks.
everything's exactly the same. So
Okay. Awesome.
they get the information and the problem statement at the same time.
Yeah.
And we have gotten some feedback that it is a very different experience whether you're coming as an individual or as a team. And some
Right.
people prefer to work one way or the other way, and get to exercise, different brain muscles in both of those activities. So it's pretty cool to see the comparing and contrasting between the two divisions, I guess what we call them.
And the amount that we give them is intentionally a lot of information. And it's intended to make it so that, if this is the world championships, it has to be hard. But what we also want them to do is, if you're an individual, we did get feedback that it feels quite overwhelming for individuals, especially this last year, because of the amount of information we gave them. We gave them a full statement of work. There were requirements in there. We gave them needs analysis data, basically marketing data that they had to figure out how to, decompose that into user requirements. We gave them a lot of information. But we reminded them, you're going up against other individuals. You're not going up, you're not competing against teams.
A level playing field.
Yeah, it's a level playing field. And the intent is that it was intentional that we gave them a lot, and they have to decide what to work on. The rubric lets them know how many points they can possibly get for different aspects of their solution, and they have to decide how to use their time accordingly. So yeah, it really is that sort of forged in fire experience of how do you
Realistically, to put an extra point on it, realistically, going back to your projects in, grade school, middle school, high school, college, there were some people that really liked working as individual and can get more done if they didn't have to, debate with anyone else. Some people prefer that. And yeah, you're going to have a little bit of overwhelm when it comes to doing a project, but you're not going to have to sit there and, have to haggle back and forth with your partners on which direction to go. So sometimes even being on a team can be a little bit of a disadvantage in actually getting things done, especially in a time compressed competition such as ours. So it's not an automatic advantage anyway.
One other quick thing about the problem statement, just the topics, is David talked about we really try to be impartial in everything. We try to look at who are the tip, the logistics, I mean the demographics of the people that have competed and have signed up, and we try to pick problem statements that nobody would have an unfair advantage. And so obviously you get a lot of competitors that have an aerospace or defense background or automotive or rail. We try to avoid those as problem topics or domains, and we try to get innovative, and we try to pick things that are a little bit outside the box. But we try to do things where anybody wouldn't have like that we are aware of has expertise in that particular domain. And to date, we've tried to make it fun where there's some tie-in to the location of where the event is occurring. So Scottsdale, Arizona was where the first one happened. And we picked a topic that was related to sort of the water crisis that's going on in the Western US. And they had to come up with basically like a utility solution, a public utility solution for this f fictional town that was facing population, decreasing water supply. And their legacy solution, their legacy water supply was from a dam or from a reservoir that had a dam. They were getting hydroelectric power. Of course, as the water levels dropped, they were getting less electricity. So they had to come up with this solution. So there was a geographic tie-in to where the event was. And then last year, it was in Cleveland, Ohio. And there's a very famous amusement park nearby in Sandusky. So it was a, we try to make these fun too. So it was a build your own, design your own entertainment system, right? Your amusement park ride for a fictional amusement park. So we tried
Replacement
to.
for a replacement for a fictionalized attraction that is being decommissioned because of age, and trying to tie in some of those elements from the old and bring it in with the new. I think at Disney they call them Imagineers. It's something that I thought was really cool because I just watched a documentary on the Disney Imagineers from an engineering perspective, and I was like, well, that sounds like a job that every kid's going to want to have. So, if we can get that experience into our competition, that'd be awesome. And it worked out pretty well.
And they get the problem statement is you said it's a lot of information. It's one PDF or a set of PDFs, or do you provide different formats, Excel models?
So we
What's
don't provide
the
them we don't provide them a model because we allow everybody, so because we want this to be open to everybody, you're allowed to use any modeling tool,
Oh, that's very
methodology,
cool.
language that you want. So problem
So
statement.
they bring their own tool then
Yeah,
on
so
their
they
laptop.
bring,
They have then their modeling tool, their
right,
modeling
there's,
language. So it's okay.
yeah. So we give them essentially a PDF of, or a Word document of the problem statement, the requirements, things that are data, just to make it easier on them so they can import it in their tool. All that stuff will be provided to them in Excel or a CSV so they can get that in a lot easier.
And how do we handle the challenge of AI? Well, if they use ChatGPT, they put all the information into ChatGPT and create
That's a
an
really good
architecture
question.
out of the book.
So
Is it
far,
allowed?
yeah, so far we have not allowed any use of AI, but we've gotten some feedback, and it's just going to have to be on a year-by-year basis about the appropriate way. I mean, we do recognize that there is a space for it, and we'd love to integrate it into the competition. We just felt like we have, for the second year, we didn't really have our arms around that problem and seeing where somebody can get an unfair advantage with that. So we're going to have to do some noodling on that, and hopefully in the very near future we'll have an AI assisted component to the competition. So as long as it's fair to everybody, like I said, the spirit of everything is always keeping a level playing field. So we're going to have to be careful with that, but it's coming, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, for last year, as David said, we did make an explicit rule that you could not use AI since the question was sort of raised by our judges a couple a month or so before the event, and we didn't really have a good way to respond to it, so we decided just to make it level. No AI for last year. We'll reevaluate or
And if you're using AI, in my experience, AI is better at system architecture than in modeling for special or certain tools. So is it a combined championship? So modeling and system architecture are both evaluated together, or are they single subcategories?
It's combined together. So we were sort of deliberate in the naming of the competition that it really is the sort of meta higher level objective is to promote good systems architecting via model-based methods. So one of the judging criteria in the rubric is your modeling skill. So how well did you form your model, organize it? How navigable is it? How well is it? How have you presented the diagrams and the views and the tables and everything to present to the judges so that, the non MBSE experts can still understand what you're trying to communicate to them. So it's an aspect of it, but the intent is to promote good systems architecting.
And you said good system architect, and hardly any architecture is wrong. So, well, some are wrong, but so how do you judge it, and who are the judges? That's, I
So
mean, it's not a checklist or so. No, it's, yeah, there must be some people who decide that's a good one, that's a bad one.
yeah, no, I'm looking at the judging rubric we had last year right now, and it's not terribly unlike the one that we had the previous year, but we have been evolving it. First of all, the judges are, volunteer. We'll reach out to folks that we think would be good at it, and then we'll, they'll sign on and they'll get in there. Specific to your question is that we collaborate on the rubric in a general sense up front with the judges, and we recognize that there are some things where, like you said, it's kind of a subjective thing, but there are objectively some things that cut across all projects that you should really have in there if you really want to call it a systems architecture that you can communicate to stakeholders in practice. So we cut across those things. We have a very general rubric. They're kind of posed in the form of questions so the judges can ask themselves, does it exist? Does it not exist? And the way it exists, is it effective? Does it pass, my criteria for it actually being there? I think a lot of the interesting part of it is that we really lean on the expertise and the individual engineering judgment of the judges themselves. We don't prescribe anything ahead of time for something that has to be there. So each year it's going to be, it's got replayability, as they say in the board games and video games. It's like you're not going to be able to crack the code on how to win the competition every year, because you're going to have different judges, different problem statements. And the rubric is based upon, basic system engineering questions like, have you elicited the requirements from the needs? Have you refined them? What's your verification and validation plan? How does all that tie in? How is it all traceable? All the design decisions traceable through the physical and the functional architectures. We add the risk and safety element, obviously, on this one, because it's an attraction, and that's really high up on their list, is don't do harm to their, to the riders and to their client base, right? And then, as Brian had mentioned before, there's the modeling acumen and the clarity. And I also recognize system engineering is, it's a lot of art too, a lot of art and communication. It's not just a technical job. So being able to communicate those ideas to folks that don't have a particular expertise in it is important. So that's part of the judging criteria too. Sometimes those judges have to step outside of the domain knowledge that they have and say, hey, if I were just a project manager on somewhere, is this going to, persuade me to go ahead and fund the project, or to rubber stamp it for approval? So that we give there's a lot of leeway in there, and I think the most interesting thing that I saw is watching the judges debate against one another about what the most important things are, and about the actual criteria of it, so they can arrive at a final answer. So I don't think everybody got their perfect way, they had to, as a judging team, had to come up with the consensus over who won based upon, their time in industry and what they were looking for. So it's really fun to watch them deliberate after the competition is over and, before the final scores are revealed.
And
maybe I missed it and you already said it, but are the criteria known by the participants, or do they know that you asked for a verification plan also, or is it
Yeah, so we publish the judging rubric ahead of time. That's one thing we actually even let them. It's on our website, www.mbscwc.com, WC for World Champions. So it's on there. You can go. Anybody can go look at it. As David said, it continues to evolve a little bit year after year, but the basics of it have remained the same. We've gotten feedback from judges. We've asked participants after the fact to give us feedback, or even before. So they know. I mean, it's what David said. It's published, but there are things that are easier to judge quantitatively versus there are things that are qualitative that you need the judges to, like, how innovative is your solution? That's highly subjective, and the judges get to decide. But yeah, so that's all known. But a little bit more about the judges. We've tried to make sure that we, of course, it's a volunteer. We help with getting them to the event if we can, and things like that. But we try to get people with different perspectives, as David said, because we want to really sort of mimic a real world environment that these systems engineers would be working in. So we try to always have somebody that has modeling, MBSE modeling expertise. So the first year we had Rick Steiner. The second year we had a couple people that have worked for other tool vendors in the past, and really have that deep modeling expertise. We try to get people that have adjacent roles to the systems engineer as well. So people that are experts in downstream analyses, or are program managers and things like that, so that they're looking at the solution from their perspective and their needs, so that you get a diverse set of views when these get scored.
It probably makes a lot of really hardcore engineers nervous that it's not a completely 100% objective, numerically based. But the inspiration for this, Brian had mentioned all those different competitions. I mean, Gordon Ramsay puts your food on the fork and puts it in his mouth and says it tastes bad. That's subjective, but it's also part of the competition, and you still have to have that skill set in order to create the dish that he's tasting. So we feel it's very okay to have some subjectivity in the final results, and it may not sit well with everybody who didn't win that year, but I think that it's because of the level playing field, and because they get to show off their skills, I think it's a great experience for everybody at the end of the day.
Yeah, but that's interesting. So, the example of Gordon Ramsay, so does he have a more European taste, an American taste, or an Asian taste? So I could also imagine that there is a kind of flavor also in the solutions of different participants if they are international, because it's a world championship. So did you already have international participation?
Yeah, so so the first two have been hosted in the US. We do want to evolve that going forward, but so far they've been hosted in the United States. But we have had international participants. We've had participants from Australia, so still sort of the Western culture. In fact, we had a West. He won one of the awards last year for most innovative solution. But I get your point. It's something that I think we're sensitive to as we move forward. Going forward, we do want to try to create more opportunities so that it's easier for people in different geographic regions to participate. Of course, everybody's welcome to come. Participate at the events in the US, but we realize that that's a financial challenge sometimes. We're looking to host events regionally in the future. It's something we're sensitive to. We've been asking for feedback from people that are MBSE domain experts in those geos, and we would like to continue to solicit feedback regarding, like, how open are people going to be to putting themselves, exposing themselves and putting themselves in the situation to compete. And I understand, the American the American persona, we're much more open to, these sorts of things. And then there are other cultures that are more reserved, so we'll have to be sensitive to that. I don't know if we have the right solution yet, but yeah, at least our Australian competitor did quite well. That may not be the best comparison, because the Australian culture is not too much different than the US. But yeah, we have had international competitors. We do want to expand. We have plans to expand, not this year, but the year after this in 2026, into Europe as well, with a regional event in Europe.
Very cool.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Yeah, I assume it's a lot of fun, but it also has some serious parts. So how do you see that the competition has some contribution to the MBSE community? So is that something you say?
Yeah, go for it, Dave.
Oh no, go ahead.
Was going to say, I think that there's the altruistic goals of, and it gets back to maybe a little bit of what you just asked Christian in the previous question, is there are regional differences. And it's great when there are events that allow us to come together, collaborate, see how we're working in similar ways and where there are differences. One thing I could note that at Vitec, we've run sort of an internal version of this for internal sales training, and we're part of a bigger organization, Zukin, that has offices around the world. And we've tried to do internal MBSE training for staff that are, diversely distributed around the world. And what we've noticed is some of the things I said is, like, some of our colleagues in Asia are much more reserved. They're less willing to speak out and collaborate real time. But some of the things I've noticed too is, like, you get people that solutions are obviously sort of bound to what they're most used to, right? So the technologies and the solutions that they put forth are sometimes quite regionally based, because that's their perspective. So I think opening up and letting us see that, especially like in a pressure, it is sort of like a hackathon. You're doing it for your individual reason, but then when we step back and we all look at everybody's solutions, it's sort of interesting to see how we came up to solution from different perspectives. So I think there's advantages to that. I think that there's also advantages from my perspective. I mean, I've used a lot of the MBSE tools, and I work for a tool vendor now. I still think that there's a long way to go to make these really truly value added. And I think it's great to be able to allow everybody to approach the same problem with different tools, methodologies, languages, and see how that impacts the solutions as well. Because they have to come up with a complete solution, and the tool is just a means of getting to the solution. It's interesting to see where the tools and the methods help them and where it impeded them. And so I think it's a great feedback. It's a little microcosm. It's an experiment where we can run and we can see what's working and what's not working to continue to push the discipline forward.
Yeah, and I would say being new to the community, I think a lot of the value I see is I kind of go back to when I was a kid and I discovered that I wanted to be an engineer. Our perception of engineering growing up is kind of dramatized or dramatized, I guess, in movies and documentaries and science shows about kids. And it's like it's always solving big problems under the gun and doing things in the heat of the moment. And then you go through all your training and all your schooling and you get into the industry and sometimes you're disillusioned because especially in system engineering, you're kind of locked into a process. There's documents flying all over the place. There's design churn. A lot of that payoff for all of your sweat equity in a project doesn't come until toward the end. I mean, you can like the process along the whole way, but you really get that payoff when it comes to first test and first deployment of things. And I think that this is just a reminder, the fact that this is a very time-bound competition and there's a lot to do in a little period of time is that we all grew up wanting to have the fire within us and the know-how to produce great and fun things in a dynamic environment. And I think that coming out of that competition, we can bring that spirit, that innovative spirit into the projects that we're working on, even if we're fighting that design churn thing. Always have that curiosity and that fire burning in you that you want to come up with something that's really, really good, and you want to do it dynamically and in a short period of time come up with these cool solutions. So I think it is a reminder to a lot of us of why we wanted to do this in the first place. So that's kind of a different perspective of the value I think this brings to that community.
Okay, so what I understood from the beginning was that the topic is always top secret. So, what other advice could you give someone who wants to participate?
My advice is just do it. If you feel like you're not going to, like completely get crushed by the pressure, and it's gonna, do bad things to you mentally, even if you're just a little uncertain or a little uneasy, just go ahead and do it and surprise yourself. It's also very fun, and and you're gonna be meeting new people along the way, and you might learn a lot more about the things that you didn't know you could do if you just go through and do it. Now there's no, I don't have any advice for somebody to try and to figure out how to get an edge by looking at what we've done in the past, because we try to stamp out those things ahead of time. But certainly if you just want to test yourself and feel like if you're in a project that's been going on for years and years and years, and you want to see if you really have the skills that what it takes to be a really good systems engineer, just sign on, come in and do it.
And how much time do I have for preparation this year? When is the next date,
Start
so to
now. Yeah.
say? So
No
we'll
time like
formally
the present.
announce the next competition on our website here shortly. We're just waiting to sign the agreement with the venue. So the dates could potentially change, but it looks pretty certain now. It'll be the September 16th and 17th of 2025, and in Dallas, Texas. So you've got spring and summer, if you're in the northern hemisphere. So you've got a little bit of time to prep. You can look at if you want to see what's been done in the past. We've had a couple webinars that are linked to on our website. You can see what other competitors have said. So we've got some quotes, and we've done some interviews with the competitors afterwards. You can go in and hear it in their own words, what it was like to compete. What they felt, the situation, sort of the pressure cooker feeling was like for them, and what they felt like the benefits were for them. You can look at the so you'll get a sense of sort of we've never, I don't think we will publish the entire problem statements and every solution, but you'll get a sense for some of the solutions and what the problem statements were from those interviews. So I think that would be a good way to go about it. And yeah, the judging criteria are available. You can look at those. And yeah, so you've got some time to prepare if you're interested. There's a as we still plan on doing the two tracks, the individual competition and the team competition. They both have separate awards, so you can win world champion as an individual or as a team. And then we always have a third award for most innovative, and that can come from any competitor, either one individual, one team. So that's sort of like, the judge's best in show sort of one. If there was one that didn't win and they thought that a particular team did something really unique and innovative, you can still win that award.
Cool.
Okay. So, yeah, let's gossip a bit. You did it already two times. So, were there any surprises, highlights, or, well, a championship includes also losers. We have winners and losers. So, any crying people or something like
Crying of joy or crying of
that? It hasn't been too bad. We've gotten some feedback on the nature of the problem statement and about how different people perceive things different ways. So whether or not they felt like it was a true representation of their skill is always that always comes into question later. And of course, we take all that feedback and we put it into the next competition. So nothing's ever perfect first time out. But we haven't had anybody that I know of come through and just think that after the fact that everything was garbage and it completely took away all their confidence in themselves or in the community. So, I think that I think most of the people who did not win gain an understanding of how they can communicate their ideas better, or they just take it with a grain of salt and recognize that there's some very subjective elements to it, and that maybe they just kind of got the wrong interpretation of what they thought would come across to the judges. So I don't think it's ever been catastrophized like that. I didn't see any tears, but everyone had said that, yeah, I mean, it's real. All the pressure is there, and it's pretty intense. And it seems like a really long time to be stuck in a room, but that time flies when you have a deadline. So.
So one common theme that we'll see, because we're sort of acting as proctors during the event, is just the like hyper focused tunnel vision that the individuals get. Most of them bring over the ear headphones, and they just get into the zone, and there's just a locked in focus between their computer and their notes on the side. So it's intense. I would say that there's the very first time I saw that, it was a little bit surprising just to see how intense everybody was. But surprises, I think David mentioned, like we're trying to th there's the surprises of like what did we observe, but then there's the surprises that we're trying to bake in. So David mentioned it earlier. Last year we gave everybody the problem statement to begin with. Hey, you're acting as a company that's building this new attraction for this amusement park. But then 2 hours in, we gave them this twist of saying, we then announced that there's this twist, which was the movies. There was a movie studio that signed an agreement with the theme park, and they want you to brand their ride with, their movie characters and all this sort of stuff and the themes of the movie. And they had already went through, and they were trying to pull out all the requirements and sort of come up with what's the basic approach that they're going to take with their architecture. And then we threw them this twist. So sort of seeing their reaction to that was interesting. I think another thing that David's commented on to me in the past too, that was sort of interesting, is because we get to, I think it's fun for, and other would encourage other people that are interested in this to join us on this journey going forward, help us with developing the problem statements. We want to put together committees that help develop these going forward. So if you have interest, please reach out. You can through our website. But it's fun for us to weave these sort of fictitious worlds, because then when we because this competition is part of a conference, we hear people walking around in the hallways about these fictional characters and these scenarios that we've put together, and people are having side conversations about them, and it kind
As
of
if
brings
they're a
on
real
a life
thing,
of their own. Yeah. So it's kind of fun to see that too.
So I think that that's actually kind of proof positive that what we're doing is resonating, and that it doesn't have to be 100% positive experience, but in general, just the fact that people are talking about it afterwards and discussing the twist and discussing how the problem statement was posed to them while they're waiting to find out how they've been judged later on is just kind of showing that the spirit of the competition is intact and what we're trying to do with the world championships. It's hitting home and it's resonating in a way that we feel is super positive.
And I for me, this is a very, very good opportunity to also disseminate systems engineering. So very often it's, at least in Europe, I think I know that in the United States it's much more present, this MBSE stuff, but in Europe it's more a niche, still a niche. Yeah, I think events like this make it much more visible, and this is something I really, really like about this World Championship. And yeah, maybe you have some final thoughts on this, because we could talk hours about it, I guess, but we also already reached 45 minutes.
My final thoughts on it are pretty simple. It's like we want to make it bigger and better every year. If we're blessed enough to keep having this be supported going forward, we would like to make each competition better than the last. And everyone who's listening to us or interested, whether they want to be a participant or are part of the staff or the judging team or want to help us even come up with the problem statement, just come join us on this journey because we think it has legs and we would like to see this come to fruition to where it can be a true world championships in all, every sense of the term. And the more people know about it and like it, I think it just gives us the opportunity to make it a great thing that people look forward to every year.
I would echo everything Dave said that I think we need to make the goals going forward are to make it more accessible. Of course, that was challenging in the earlier years with just trying to sort of vet out whether or not this concept had any validity. It sounds like it has grown year over year. So I do want to make sure that we continue to try to improve access to people from around the world to make it truly a world championship. And as David said, we've put a lot of sweat equity into getting it off the ground and starting. But if anybody out there listening has an interest in either competing or helping with the competition, we would love to grow it so that it becomes more of a community behind this event, that it becomes more, my hope is this becomes something that is one of the, things that we can look to within the systems engineering community that brings, it's not just a competition, but it brings people together. It becomes another forum for collaboration and innovation amongst people that care about advancing the practice and just getting the job done, doing real work for real benefit, right? And I just hope that we can continue to promote that.
Okay, so
Franchise,
yeah,
you can switch
Krishna.
off the licensing.
I think you can license this model. It's quite interesting
That's
for.
not, yeah, that's actually not on our radar, but we'll see. We'll see how everything grows. It'd be awesome just to see the brainchild grow into something that's living and breathing on its own, independent of our direct, input, every single day in and day out. Be cool.
That's super exciting. I hope I experience it live sometime in the future, the near future, hopefully. Maybe next year when you're in Europe. That's then much easier for me to join. We are already at the end of the
Oh,
podcast. So
okay.
great that you were here. Thank you very much, Brian and Dave. That was fantastic. It's a cool thing, the World Championship. And yeah, let's look for the next. We haven't finalized the topic yet. We have already a few in the pipeline, but not a final topic and not a final date. I'm still under discussion with the guests, so we hope to publish it soon. So I hope there will be maybe end of April or so, May. We will see. And yeah, and then do not forget, no?
Trust us, we are systems engineers. Goodbye.
Okay, bye-bye.